Hechel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is recording number 114 in the series entitled How to Excavate Your Soul Part 1, a two-step program towards a daily encounter with your spark. This class was recorded live at Hechel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York, during the winter of 5761.
Begin with a little story. The Slonim Rebbe, Rebbe Shmuel Weinberg, was a close friend and an acquaintance of the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, known as the Rebbe Rashab. And they worked together quite closely on many matters on behalf of Russian Jewry. He lived in Slonim. He was a grandson and the successor of the first Rebbe of Slonim, Rebbe Avremel, Rebbe Avraham Weinberg, Rebbe Avremela Weinberg, who authored a famous work called Yesod HaAvoda. And this was his grandson who succeeded him. Once there was a particular issue, a particular matter that was burning at the time, so he sent one of his Hasidim as an emissary to the city of Lubavitch in White Russia to discuss the issue, the matter, with the Lubavitch Rebbe, with the Rebbe Rashab. The man arrived, and it was in the week of, like this week, Parshas Va'era. Actually, as they tell the story, it was also a weather like today's weather, filled with rain and snow. But not the Brooklyn snow, or Russian snow. the Brooklyn, New York snows relative to Russian snows are hot summer days. And he came to the Rebbe, and they discussed the issue. The Rebbe offered his counsel and advice on the matter. And when they concluded discussing that particular subject at hand, the Rebbe said, I would like to hear a vort, an idea from your Rebbe, from the Slonim Rebbe. So his chassid responded and he said, I'll share something with you. There is a famous old question on one of the first Rashis in the beginning of the Torah portion of Va'era, of this week's portion. Hashem is talking to Moshe and he tells him, Va'era el Avram, el Yitzchak ve'el Yaakov. I have shown myself, I have revealed myself to Avraham, to Yitzchak, and to Yaakov. So Rashi quotes the word Va'era, I have shown myself, and he writes, El Ha'avos, to the fathers, to the patriarchs. And the question is, the Rashi seems absolutely superfluous and unnecessary. The Pasuk says clearly, I have shown myself to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We know that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are the Avos. What is Rashi teaching us? By writing Va'era, I have shown myself to the Avos. Now, this is a famous question that welcomed throughout the generations many an interpretation. But the Slonim and Chassid says, here is how the Slonim and Rebbe, here is how the my Rebbe explained it. Avos in Hebrew means fathers, but also can be translated as a desire, as a craving, as a wish. As in the Pasuk, V'layava Hashem Elokecha. Hashem, your God, did not want, did not desire Ava. The Zakt Rashi, V'era El Ha'avos. Hashem is saying, I have shown myself to those people who desired that I should be shown to them, that I should be revealed to them. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe was very moved by the interpretation, and he called in his son, who later became the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe, and he asked the Slonim and Chassid to repeat the saying, the idea again. And when he finished, the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, the Herst, the Eberste and Plek Tzich Bleis Se'enem was Vil as the Eberste Tzich Se'em and Plek. Hashem reveals himself, he shows himself. He's present only in the life of someone who wants he should be present in his life. And this is one of the foundational themes the Alter Rebbe conveyed in the 42nd chapter of the Tanya, which we discussed last week at length, quoting the words of Shlomo HaMelech in Proverbs, in the beginning of the second chapter of the book of Mishle, where King Solomon says, Im tivakshena chakosef, v'chamat moinim tachpesena, oz tovin yiras Hashem. If you seek it as if it were money, and you search for it as if it were hidden treasures, then you will grasp yiras Hashem, the fear of Hashem. And the Alter Rebbe explained this statement to mean that in every single Jew, there is an oitzer shel yiras shamayim, as he put it. There is a treasure of yiras shamayim, a fear of heaven, but that is concealed, buried, and embedded in binas halev, in a hidden space in the heart of every single Jew. But at a core level, every Jew fears Hashem, is awed by Hashem's reality. The presence of godliness, the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, exists in the depth of the consciousness of the Jewish soul. Zakt Shlomo HaMelech, if you will seek it as if it were money, and you will search for it as if it were hidden treasures, then you will grasp the fear of Hashem. You have to excavate, the Alter Rebbe said, your consciousness. You must unearth your inner identity. You have to dig and dig and dig till you discover that treasure chest that contains Yiras Shamayim. And more specifically, if somebody comes over to you and tells you that I speculate, I'm 15% chance or 20% chance that in this particular location there's a treasure that's hidden. So if you want to take the chance, or even 40%, or a greater chance, or 50%, you'll invest money, time, energy, effort, and so forth, and you'll begin digging. But certainly not with all of your power. You will not give it every iota of energy that you have. And when you get tired and exhausted, you'll cease, you'll stop. And if you're digging for 6 months, and certainly for a year, and nothing showed up, you start investing your time and your energy in other projects. I mean, this validates that it was maybe 20% or 15% or 40% or 50%, but it was not a reality. It was a speculation. What happens if, hypothetically speaking, you are absolute certain that there is a treasure here? It's not 10% and it's not 50% and not even 90%. There is an absolute certainty that there is a treasure hidden right here in this place. So now the intensity, the energy you expend and you invest and the effort is limitless. You give it all you got. And even if you get tired and exhausted, you won't stop. And even if you dug for a long time and it did not show up, You will not seize the project because you are certain it's here, and you are certain that if you dig more and better and more efficiently, you'll discover it. Zogdal Terebbe. Yiras Hashem, fear of Hashem, Shleima Melech, compares to a treasure that we know is present deep in the earth. In your heart, in the Jew's heart, we are of absolute certainty that there is an Eitzer of Yerushalayim. There is a treasure, there is a core point of fear of Hashem. It's just, you have to excavate. You have to dig, you have to mine, you have to unearth it. But it's present, it's there, rely on me, have faith in it, and you just dig, and dig, and dig, and dig, and it will come to the fore. But there is a lot of earth, and there's a lot of earth covering it. So the Alter Rebbe said that the digging consists basically of two elements, what he called Yigiyas Basar and Yigiyas Nefesh. Excavating the body and excavating the soul. There's two major projects of excavation that have to be done when we talk about psychological, emotional, and spiritual mining. First, you have to excavate your body, and that's not easy. And second, even when you finish with that, starts a whole new project, a whole new process, excavating the soul. Excavating the body is simply because of the fact that godliness is very subtle. It's very spiritual. It's very sacred. It's very precious. And excessive materialism simply conceals it, suppresses it. In order to hear the melody of godliness that's present in your soul, you first have to dismiss all of the tremendous, extraordinary noise and static that doesn't allow you to hear that melody. That melody is very subtle, it's silent, it's edel, as they say in Yiddish. And the grassness, the crassness, the coarseness of one's physicality and of the physical world and of one's physical body does not allow us to hear that tune, does not allow us to hear that rhythm that's vibrating constantly through the consciousness of the soul. And therefore one has to penetrate the coarseness of his life. In other words, the godliness of the soul is not readily accessible and it's not easily accessible. And our physical cravings, urges, temptations, instincts that we all experience daily totally conceal it. So it's really a daily toil to pierce beneath the layers of physicality that the very presence of the body presents. And that includes, for example, how somebody eats, how somebody sleeps, how somebody engages in their material needs, and everybody needs to engage in material needs. But if, for example, overeating in a gluttonous, self-indulgent way, it just blocks out. You can't hear the melody of your soul afterwards. The body just becomes a major veil that's opaque. It's not transparent. You have to allow the body to become transparent, translucent. And if the physicality of the body is not under control, it's limitless, it's excessive. That takes over your identity. You can't be in touch with a deeper self. And that's a daily effort, a daily toil to keep the physical dimension of yourself under control. That it should become a conduit. At least the soul should be transparent. If not transparent, translucent, something. This includes also sins. If somebody sins and abuses the godliness within them, it desensitizes a person to his soul, to her soul. So excavation of the body means digging through the materialistic, crass nature that characterizes almost every human being's identity. But that's not enough. Now you have to excavate the soul. It's actually interesting. The previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, in a talk in 1943, writes that these two elements that Alter Rebbe discusses are present also in mining and in physical excavation of the earth, which the Alter Rebbe compares this process to. because he says in all excavation it consists of a twofold process. First of all, you have to remove the junk. On any piece of earth, there's a lot of junk. Not just junk besides the earth, but just a lot of junk of the earth. Earth that has assembled and gathered and built up that place, that has amassed, and that location you have to remove. And after you have done that, now it's time to cultivate the finer soil. And to excavate that till you reach the depth of the finer soil, and then you have hope to find the treasure. And thus, excavation of the body is removing all of the coverings, all of the layers. But once you reach the soul, now there's already finer soil that has to be cultivated. And one has to toil in a new way in order to discover the godliness of the soul. And from the Alter Rebbe's point of view, he said the primary ingredient for that is learning, and meditation. His boininess. A person has to meditate and think and contemplate and rack his brain and concentrate and get intellectually in tune with the truths of godliness until the treasure will emerge in its full splendor. Now he said not everybody needs the same amount of time. For a more refined soul, the time that's needed is much less. For a more coarse soul, a soul that comes from a lower place in the spiritual world, particularly a soul that was abused and violated by sin, particularly sins connected to intimacy and relationships, as we discussed last week, the desensitization process is much more powerful, and therefore the digging requires much more time. For example, the Alter Rebbe himself, who was a great advocate of this for this reason, created, as his successors did, an enormous literature of godliness. There's a story told that the Mittler Rebbe, the son of the Alter Rebbe, once met Reb Matala Chernobyler at a wedding. The holy Reb Matala Chernobyler was a son of Reb Nachum Chernobyler, who was a very, very close friend of the Alter Rebbe. And the Mittler Rebbe gave over a discourse of Chassidus, and in the Mittler Rebbe style, it was extremely elaborate. Extremely elaborate. Based on the system of Chabad, Chachma, Bina, Das. So Reb Matala Chernobyler turned to him afterwards and he says, Yukachno ma'at mayim Avram Avinu set. In Parshas Vayera, when Avram Avinu meets the three angels, he says, Yukachno ma'at mayim, please come take a little bit of water. There's no need for so much water. So one of the older Hasidim was there present, the Chabad Chassid. His name was Reb Eisel Hamele, Reb Yitzchak Eisel Kalevi Epstein. So he's a sharp Jew. He says, Dasat Avram Avinu gezak to Arabe. Avram Avinu told that to Arabs. For Arabs, they don't need more than a little bit of water. So it's a Mittler Rebbe corrected him. He said, Nein, Dasat Avram Avinu gezak to Malachim. The angels don't need more than a little bit of water. Yukachna, angels, the Mittler Rebbe shifted it around, you know. Rabbi Eisel was much more sharp about it. For Arabs, you don't need, what are you going to give them a lot of water for? It's just a waste. The Mittler Rebbe said, no, for angels, they just need a little bit of water. But human beings who need a lot of excavation. And if you need a lot of excavation, you have to give them a lot of water. They should be able to flood their minds. And as a result of that, their hearts with spirituality, with godliness. But everybody, the Alter Rebbe claimed and declared, everybody who will dig is bound to find it. You're bound to find the treasure because it's there. There's nobody it's not there. He said, even a person who has desensitized himself drastically, but the treasure chest is there and it just needs to be unearthed, exposed, revealed. And now we will continue inside. We are on Daf Samach Amud Aleph, page 119. the line beginning with the words Hamisuteres Hanal at the word Rak, closer to the top of the page. 8 lines from the top, Rak. So the Alter Rebbe said the treasure is present in the heart of every single Yid. Rak, however, Shekedei Shetov Oilidei Ma'aseh B'pchinas Yiras Chet, in order that this treasure of Yiras Shamayim, of fear of heaven, should be translated into action in the sense of fear of sin. So that one will turn away from negativity, indeed, word and thought, because this fear of Hashem can remain a treasure, and a treasure that's hidden for the entirety of one's life, in order to be translated into action, which means it should become an authority on your in your life. It should dictate your behavior. It should compel one to experience yiras chet, fear of sin, to control his behavior in what he does and what he or she says and what he or she thinks about. Conscious thoughts, instinctive thoughts we're not in control of. Alter Rebbe explained at length in the earlier chapters. But conscious thought, everybody's in control of what you're going to engage your thought in. So in order that this should happen, tzarich legalaisa mimatzpunei binas alev shalomayla me'azman. One needs to expose it, one needs to bring it out, one needs to bring it to the light from the hidden depths of the understanding of the heart, shalomayla me'azman, where it transcends time. This treasure transcends time, which means it's not defined by time and thus by moods and by days. So therefore, some days you'll say, I'm having a good day, and other days I'm having a really bad day spiritually. Or 1 week is a good week and 1 week. But this treasure is always there. It's not relegated to the fluctuations and to the ups and the downs of time. It's the timeless dimension of the human soul. And therefore, it can be changed. But on the other hand, it's not present necessarily in our daily schedule. So in order to bring it to the light from that transcendental level of the soul, and to place it within the realm of actual thought that is in the mind. That's an interesting addition. You're saying it transcends time would also refer to reincarnations, Gilgulim. That even if this soul has been reincarnated previously and has been wrecked, this treasure is still there in its complete splendor and majesty. Yeah, that's 100% true. Gilgulim. Yes?
We usually see the couple lines above, we usually see that it goes much higher with Dibor and Meister.
That's a good question. That's a good question. We'll address it. Yeah, we're middle of the sentence.
Hidden so, state of the mind, you say?
Yeah, it will become clear in a moment. So in order that this sphere, this treasure should be translated into actions, you have to reveal it from the hidden understanding of the heart which transcends time and place it within the realm of actual thought that is in the brain. The melody I used before to say these words was wrong. You have to bring it and place it within the realm of actual thought that is in the brain, which means lahamig b'machshavtei meshech zman mamish, immersing one's thought in it for a lengthy period of time, ad sheteitzei mikpulasa me'akayech lapoyel mamish, until its effect will emerge from the potential state into the actual state. So even though the treasure is there, but nonetheless it's hidden, and one has to think about it. You have to give it attention. You have to validate it. You have to create a bridge between the superconscious dimension of the soul and the conscious self. So you simply have to believe in it. You have to think about it. You have to pay it attention. You have to pay heed to it. Meditate on it. Concentrate on it. And that brings it forth. That brings it out, it brings the treasure out from the depth of the earth in which it is buried. And this is the excavation of the soul following the excavation of the body. This is the excavation of meditation, of thought that brings it out. And the Alter Rebbe says it has to be a meshech zman ma'amamish. It takes time. Again, depends on the nature of the soul, like mentioned above. You know, there's a very interesting story. It's on another level, but it brings out the point with the Maggid of Mizrich, the mentor of the Alter Rebbe. He, before he became a chassid of the Baal Shem Tov, he was a very learned, brilliant mind, an extraordinary spiritual human being. And once, after he became a chassid already, an old friend from his pre-chassidic days came to visit him for a few days. And one thing that astonished him was the length that his friend, the Maggid, Reb Dov Baer of Mizrich, devoted to davening, to prayer. And he turned to him and he said, "I don't understand. We grew up together. Together we studied all of the Kabbalistic meditations of the Arizal of Rabbi Yitzchak Luria that pertain to prayer. Together we used to meditate upon them, but you used to daven for much shorter period of time together with me. What happened suddenly? What takes you so long? I mean, you forgot the Hebrew language?" So the Rabbi Dov Baer, his old friend, says, "How do you support yourself these days?" So he says, "Thank God Hashem blessed me with a lovely wife. And she sells all year around the merchandise that I purchase once a year in Leipzig in Germany. So I could sit and study and teach and give classes and inspire people and teach them Torah and so forth. Just once a year I have to travel to Leipzig. And those are the six troubling weeks of my year. I have to travel to Leipzig in Germany. It takes, he said, 2 weeks to travel there, and 2 weeks to travel back, and 2 weeks I spend there, and I purchase the merchandise, I bring it home, and my wife sells it throughout the year, and we support ourselves very nicely." So the Maggid says, "Why do you have to waste 6 years? During those 6 weeks, what do you do about you learning classes?" He says, "I have to stop it all. What should I do? This is how I support myself." He says, "I have a great idea for you. What do you have to schlep sich to Leipzig 6 weeks? Why don't you just sit in your base medrash and imagine that you travel to Leipzig? And in your mind, imagine the coachman and the wagon and all of the roads and the highways and the inns that you stop in. And then imagine that you arrive to Leipzig and imagine in your mind all of the merchants that you deal with, that you bargain with and you fight with, and all of your business dealings, imagine in your mind, imagine seeing the merchandise, paying for it, loading your wagon with it, and imagine returning back home." He says, "That will take you no more than 25 minutes. And you have it all." So he's looking at the Maggid as if, you know, who's the normal one? And he says, "That won't work." He says, "Why not? It will work, and work with much less time." He says, "Aber ich darf haben die Schreide. I need the merchandise. To have the merchandise, imagination won't help." The Maggid said, "Very well. And when it comes to spirituality and godliness, I need the merchandise. Ich darf die Schreide. Just to meditate in my mind about something, you know, as it says in the book, that takes a few minutes. But to meditate upon it and get the merchandise, to get the reality in my life, which should be existing in my life, that takes a lot of time." And this is what the Alter Rebbe is saying as far as unearthing the spiritual treasure. Which again leads us to the same point I mentioned this last week. If you're not ready to invest time and energy in order to excavate the godliness that's in your soul, more than the effort that you invest in buying a ticket to go to a game, you can't anticipate anything in return. Excavation takes time, effort, and quantity, quality level to discover the spirituality of the self, to have a relationship with Hashem. You have to want to pay a price for it. You have to really desire. You have to dig and dig, and you have to plow and use a hoe and use other instruments. And it's on a daily basis. And Dalzog Dalter Rebbe. So when one meditates and gives thought to this dimension of self, then he brings it out from potentiality into action. And the effects of that is, Liesur Meirava Seitev. And then he will turn away from negativity and engage in good. Again, in his thought, in his speech, and in his action, his whole schedule will change. The way he thinks, the way he speaks, and what he does and what he does not do. It will change his life 24 hours a day. His behavior in his thought, speech, and action will be different. And here your question is even more emphasized. What you asked a moment ago, before the Alter Rebbe said he should turn away from evil in deed and in speech and in thought. And here the order is changed around thought, speech, and deed.
I think the
Tarsus
Pasha is
easier
to turn away from Maisa, and then it's easier to.
And then harder, yeah.
So we first talk about what it's easy, right? That's what he's talking about, turning away. Then the second thing is, then we'll be able to do Machshava, Dibur, and Ma'aseh. So first, it's
okay, that's interesting. Also, before he only says Sur Meira, turn away from evil, and here he adds Va'aseh Tov. Now, normally, one might think that this is why does he say here Va'aseh Tov, just at this moment he felt to put in these words. But obviously, any logical human being who writes a book, a serious person, is meticulous about the choice of words, structure of sentences, the order of words, and so forth. Particularly a man like the Alter Rebbe. Particularly in the Tanya, which he wrote intermittently for 20 years. And it's known the awesome meticulousness that characterized literally every line. So this needs explanation, and we'll still get to it. But what you said was good. Huh? Okay, fine, but before he doesn't say it. So, liyesur meirav asei tev machshava dibru maisa, to turn away from negativity and do good in thought, speech, and action, mipnei Hashem, because of Hashem, hatsoif umabit, who looks and sees, umazin umakshiv, hears and listens, umevin el kol maaseyu, and perceives all of his deeds, ubaychen klayos of libay, and searches his inwards and his heart. Ukemay merazal, as our sages have stated, this is in Pirkei Avos, the beginning of the second chapter, histakel b'shloisha dvarim chuli. Reflect upon three things, and the Mishnah continues, and you will not come to sin. And the Mishnah continues, what are these three things? Ayin raya. First, the Mishnah says you should know what is above you, and then the Mishnah continues. The second thing is ayin raya, an eye that sees, v'ayzen shemas, and an ear that hears chuli, etc. The Mishnah continues. The third thing, that all of your deeds are transcribed in a book. V'chol masach b'sefer nechtav. You know, there was one of the Hasidim of the Magid of Mizrich. I mentioned the Magid. During that time, the early days of Chassidus, there was a terrible, terrible opposition from the Misnagdim against the newly created Hasidic movement through the Baal Shem Tov. And that opposition was very deep and took on a lot of different forms and expressed itself in many very painful ways. And there was a chassid of the Magid who once traveled with his family to his in-laws. And his father-in-law was a pious man, a learned man, an educated man, a great Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar. And he turns to his son-in-law, who fell into the kat, as they were called, to the sect. Kat means the sect. That was the derogatory title for Chassidim during that generation. He fell into the sect, and he said, "What do you learn at the Magid that I don't know? I learn, and I know Yiddishkeit, I know halacha, and I'm a great scholar. And what did you discover there?" He said, "By the Magid, I learned how to read people's thoughts." So he says, "Yeah, you con artist, you're all a bunch of con artists. Tell me what I'm thinking right now. What am I thinking right now?" So he looks at his father-in-law, he says, "You're thinking, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samit, that Hashem is before me constantly." He said, "I told you you're a liar. I'm not thinking about this. He says, my dear Shver, that's why I went. That's why I went to the Maggid. So to create this awareness in a person's life is this the key that will prevent him from engaging in negative behavior or words or thoughts, and on the other hand, transform the way he behaves in a positive sense. But that has to be brought out, and it has to be brought out on a constant basis, so that the treasure of Yerushalayim becomes an actual reality in the Jew's life. And now the Alter Rebbe raises a very interesting question. V'gam ki ein lo d'mus ha'guf. Although Hashem has no bodily likeness. So what does it mean when we say there is an eye that sees and there is an ear that hears? Or as the Alter Rebbe put it, Hashem sees and looks and hears and listens and perceives and searches. He doesn't have a d'mus ha'guf. He doesn't have the likeness of the body, which is one of the foundational beliefs of Yiddishkeit. Does Hashem really watch me? Does Hashem see me? Does Hashem listen to me? Human beings watch, gaze, and listen. But Hashem doesn't have any of those features, any of those attributes. Zogt der Alter Rebbe, Harei Adrabbe. You're 100% right. But on the contrary, your very question gives us an answer. Harei Adrabbe, on the contrary. Hakel Goliv Yadua Lefonov. B'yeser Se'es La'ein Ketz. Mir'iyas Ha'ayin Ushmiyas Ha'izin Al Derech Moshe. For this very reason, everything is revealed and known to him, infinitely more than, for example, through the physical medium of sight and hearing. On the contrary, because he doesn't have the likeness of a body and doesn't see and hear as, for example, human beings see and hear through the instruments of our ears or our eyes, so everything is revealed and known to him in a much deeper and more infinite way, as the Alter Rebbe will explain. Al Derech Moshe, let's give an example for his way of perception of the human reality. K'may Adam Hayedeo Margish Ba'atzmai Kol Mashenasev Nifol Be'echad Mikol Ramachi Varav. Like a man who knows and feels within himself all that is happening to and being experienced by each of his 248 bodily organs, k'maykar eichayim, such as cold and heat, v'afilu chayim shebetzipar neiragav, feeling even the heat in his toenails, al derech moshalim nichve ba'ayr. For example, if the toenail is scorched and burned by fire, the human being feels it and experiences it. So also he experiences their essence and substance. Not only is a person aware, obviously, of all that's happening to the organs, but he also feels the very organs themselves. And all that is affected within them, all that is affected in the organs, yideyo margish b'meicha, is known to the person and sensed in his brain, in his mind. One needs not to use his eyes or his ears to appreciate, to discern, to be aware of what is happening to his toenail, to his fingernail, to his abdomen, to his chest, or to any other part of his body. The pain of the burnt hand or foot, the heat or the cold, and the cold would be more applicable to this evening's weather, is experienced by the person himself because it's happening to himself in his mind. In a similar manner of knowledge by way of analogy, Yodeya HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem knows, Kol HaNifol B'chol HaNivroyim Elyonim V'tachtoinim, all that befalls all created beings, both higher and lower, liyos kulam mushpayim imenu yizbarach, because they all receive their entire flow of life from him, k'may shekasuv, as is written, David HaMelech says in his final blessings to the Jewish people before he passes away, in Divrei HaYamim Aleph, chapter 29, he blesses them after they have donated a lot of money for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. He talks and he says, he talks to Hashem as he's blessing the Jews. Kimimcha HaKoil, for from you come all things. HaKoil, everything comes Mimcha from you. And he continues, Umiyad Chanasanullah, and therefore it's from your hand that we gave you all these materials. It's from you. It's really what we gave you, we received from you. And therefore, it's this type of awareness that Hashem has from everything that is happening within the life or identity or being of every single creature, spiritual or physical, on all worlds, on all levels, since they all come from Hashem. V'zeu sha'aymnim, and this is what we say this in the Musaf prayers of Rosh Hashanah. V'gam kol ha'yitzur le'nichichad mimcha, and no creature is hidden from you. So apparently the Alter Rebbe is interpreting it, and no creature is hidden because Mimcha, because it's from you. And therefore it's impossible that it should be hidden from your awareness and knowledge. Okamashakas of Harambam, as the Rambam has written, and Alter Rebbe adds in parentheses, which is extremely important for a book like the Tanya. V'iskimulazachachmei HaKabbalah. This should not be relegated to the realm of Jewish philosophy, but rather the masters of the Kabbalah agree to this statement of the Rambam. How do we know Kamishakos of Haramak Bepardes? As the Ramak acronym for Reb Moshe Kardivero wrote in his book The Pardes. So the Rambam says, Shebiyidiyas Atzmai Kivayachal. That by knowing himself, by Hashem knowing himself, so to speak, Yedeya kol hanivroyim, he knows all of the created things, hanimtsoyim meyamitas himotzei chulu, whose source of existence is his, Hashem's true existence. There is data that a person experiences from outside of his own reality. We have the ability to access various data through various instruments. The most basic, the five senses, or what Alter Rebbe refers to here, alludes to here, is the eyes and the ears, and as well as the other senses. The eye allows me, you, to see people, things, articles outside of myself. My ear allows me to hear and integrate and assimilate into my system voices, sounds, ideas, words, and so on and so forth. As well as the other senses, whether it's smelling or touching or tasting. So these instruments allow us to access and integrate data from outside of us. But what happens if something occurs to me? I don't need my eyes or my ears or my nose or my mouth to inform me upon their existence or upon their reality. Why not? I experience it. It's part of me. It's happening to me. So the me is aware of it. Or in other words, as the Alter Rebbe put it, in more of biological terms, the brain is the central nervous system of the entire human organism. When anything occurs to any part or particle of the body, it occurs to the brain, which is the central nervous system of that limb or organ or part of the body. So he doesn't have to find out about it. He doesn't need reporters. The eyes and the ears can be compared to newspapers, tabloid newspapers that function all of the time and report to us the news. Some of the news is very beautiful and some of the news is very destructive. But over here, I don't need a reporter or instruments to report it to me. It happened to me. It's part of me. So I experience and I feel it. So the infant cries before he opens his eyes to see the world because he or she feels the pain. And this is what the Alter Rebbe said. When I'm hot or I'm cold, I don't need my ears to say, you know, you're now cold. You feel it. Your brain feels it. Zogda Alter Rebbe, this is a metaphor to understand the nature of how Hashem is aware of what happens to every human being all the time. Hashem doesn't know about us as you know about something that's outside of you. Rather, it's so to speak happening to him and within him. And this is what the Rambam writes. This was a Rambam in Hilchis Yisoidei HaTorah, in the beginning of the Mishnah Torah, in the second chapter. The Rambam says, and I'll translate it into English, all of existences besides the Creator, from the highest form, Mitzura Rishayna, Ad Yitush Katan B'Tabur Aris, till the smallest flea or mosquito or insect somewhere in the earth, in the center of the earth, all came Mikoyach HaMitasai Nimtzu. They all existed, they all came into existence from Hashem's truth. And since Hashem knows Himself and recognizes Himself and His truth, Hu Yodeya Hakol, He knows everything, Ve'ein Davar Ne'elam Mimenu, and nothing is hidden from Him. Which means Hashem experiences Himself, and since He experiences Himself, He experiences everything. And Alter Rebbe emphasizes that the Kabbalists agree to this, quoting the Pardes. The Pardes, authored by the Ramak, Reb Moshe Kardaviro, is considered one of the greatest Kabbalists in Jewish history. He was originally even a teacher of the Arizal himself. He lived in Tzvas. Reb Moshe Kardaviro was born in the year 1522. Shin Pei Beis. Reish Pei Beis, 1522, and he passed away in the year 1570, at the age of 48 in Tzvas. Now, one of the greatest contributions of the Ramak was, he organized and systemized the entire Kabbalistic literature that existed till his day. And he did it in his most monumental work. He wrote many books, but the most famous one is called Pardes Rimoinim, The Orchard of Pomegranates. And in Pardes Rimoinim, he created an encyclopedia of Kabbalah. He divided the entire Kabbalistic wisdom into portals, into Sha'arim. Each portal has chapters, and in it he introduced and collected and compiled from all of the Kabbalistic sources that were available to him and made an order out of it. And thus it became the seminal, authoritative work in Kabbalah. The Arizal came along and revolutionized Kabbalah, but the Ramak remains the authority on Kabbalah that existed till his day, the authority. In the Pardes, in the eighth portal, he deals with some of these elements the Rambam raises. It's called the portal of Mehusvan Haga, Shar Mehusvan Haga, the portal of essence and the process of running the world. And in the 13th chapter, he explains Kabbalistically this idea of the Rambam. Because the Rambam statement did not go through so easily. The Maharal of Prague, for example, in the Sefer Gvurais Hashem, also a 16th century great scholar, criticized the Rambam harshly for these statements. For him, the notion of Hashem experiencing Himself and knowing Himself was absolutely wrong. And we discussed this more at length in the second chapter of Tanya. Now, Kabbalah reconciled both views. They felt the Rambam and the Maharal were both right on different dimensions. So that's why it's important for the Alter Rebbe, who in his Tanya was determined, as is in all of his thought, was determined to breed philosophy of the Rambam and the Kabbalah of the Ramak and the Arizal into one, which was one of the Alter Rebbe's greatest missions and contributions, to synthesize them into one. So he right away makes mention of this, that Chachmei HaKabbalah agreed. But in chapter 2 we discussed it more at length. So now when a person comes and says, Hashem doesn't have the likeness of a body, He doesn't have eyes to see me, or ears to hear me. So the Alter Rebbe says, on the contrary, your question demonstrates that there is a much deeper relationship. There is a much deeper connection. Our whole life, the Rambam is saying, we live in Hashem, in God. Every breath that you breathe, you're breathing within Hashem. Every sin that one sins, he's sinning within Hashem. Hashem knows you like you experience yourself. When something happens, even to, he says, the nail of your leg, the toenail. It's a nail. It's very detached from the more sophisticated, vital parts of the body. A nail can be cut, and it nails itself with the nail of the leg. But if it's scorched by fire, the brain is shaken. You can say, listen, I'm in the middle now of a Tanya class, nail, come back tomorrow. The brain can't say, I'm busy with other things. What happens to your nail happens to your brain. And thus is our relationship with Hashem also. Our behavior and our life is experienced within Hashem. It's happening within Him because it's all me'amita simatsoi, as the Rambam says. It's all coming from His truth. It is His truth. And therefore, there is every time a person speaks coarse language, gossip, lies, he's lying in God. He's gossiping in God. He's sinning. He's violating. He's abusing himself within Hashem. So the relationship, the awareness, is just much deeper than an eye or an ear. Much far, infinitely deeper. But Alter Rebbe right away adds one thing. But this analogy, you can't take it all the way. It's only to calm the ear. Calm the ear is an expression always used in these, when discussing these subjects. To calm the ear means to allow the ear to exist, which means to allow the ear to tolerate the concept being expressed. To make it possible for the human ear, for the human mind, to perceive something of the divine reality and its relationship with us, we use different metaphors, but it's not a complete analogy. Because why does the brain know everything? Why does the brain know when the toe gets burnt? Because it's happening to the brain. Because the human organism is one unit. It's one essence. So what happens to any limb is happening to the same human being who experiences it. He feels it. It impacted him. It changed him. You're not the same. And that's why you know about it essentially and innately, because it happened to you. Data that's outside of me did not happen to me, so I don't know it, I don't experience it innately. My brain power, my awareness, my discernment features did not experience it, and therefore they have to find out about it. But when something happens to me, to my brain, it experiences it. Are we going to say the same thing about Hashem, that it changes Him, it transforms Him? So he right away demonstrates that he right away clarifies there's a major difference. Ki nefesh ha'adam, for the human soul, afilu asichlus velikis, even the rational soul and the divine soul, not just the biological bodily soul, even the intellectual soul and the transcendental soul, he mispa'elas mimu'uroi haguf v'tzaroi, is affected and transformed by the events which transpire within the body and its pain.